Mark chapter 9. And we'll get down to verse, Mark chapter 9. I want to start at verse, let's start at verse 17 or so. This is, I believe, our eighth ministry lesson. I want to talk about prayer and fasting that prevails. Prayer and fasting that prevails. Mark and chapter 9. In verse 17, it says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. And he answereth and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And go to verse 24. It says, "Straightway the father of the child cried and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch as many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible, and thank you for the chance to teach and preach the Word of God. We need you today. We thank you for being a great Father in heaven that can give us your wisdom. That can take weak humans and make them godly, great warriors for you. And I pray today that you would anoint this teaching, because it's about the anointing, and it is important that we understand just how much power we can release, Lord. And I pray you use us, Lord, in a great way, and use me as we teach this lesson so we can all be better laborers for you. We pray for your help and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just a few things here. The disciples had already been given the ability and practiced and done it and cast out demons out of people. They were already, this is part of their deal. They'd already done it. And they're already experienced at casting out demons. If you go back a couple chapters from Mark chapter 9 to Mark chapter 6, and you'll see in verse 7, it says, "And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits." Okay? Jesus gave them power over unclean spirits. So do they have power over unclean spirits? Yeah, he gave them the power. And they did it. Verse 12, they went and did the ministry, and they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed many with oil that were sick and healed them. So they'd already cast out demons. They'd already done this. They already experienced at it. They'd been given the power by Jesus to do it. And then, in this story in Mark chapter 9, this man has a child who the baby is... The child, whatever age it is, it's not a baby anymore, but the child is possessed by a demon. The demon throws himself into the fire, throws the boy into the fire. It attacks the child. It goes into convulsions and all kinds of crazy things. And a foameth, verse 18, "It taketh him and teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples, I cast him out, and they could not." Well, now, the disciples try to cast this demon out. Jesus is up with some people teaching. The disciples are trying to cast this demon out. And, well, the demon is not coming out. And so they finally go to Jesus, and the man says, "I got to get my son healed." And so they come to Jesus and says, "Hey, there's this child possessed," and the disciples couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long am I going to be with you? And you got to be ready. Bring him unto me." And so when the spirit saw him, verse 20, when he saw Jesus, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And then so Jesus asked him a question. It's in note, everything in the Bible is so important, and when God says something, it's very powerful and important. Jesus says, "How long has he had this demon?" And he says, "It came on him as a child." And so we don't know the details here. Of how many years this is, whether it's 5 years or 10 years, or maybe he's a teenager and it happened when he was an infant, or it's been a dozen years. But Jesus asked, how long has it been? And that's part of the whole context of the story, is it had been a long time. He didn't say it happened a month ago. He's asked his father, saying, how long since this came upon him, verse 21, and he said, of a child. And so Jesus commands a demon, and the demon comes out. As when the demon comes out, it comes out so hard and so difficultly. The boy is on the ground and screaming and crying, and it's just ripping this kid apart. And so he rebuked it, and the spirit cried and rent him sore, just screaming and convulsing, and came out of him, and he was as one dead. And everybody said, the kid's dead. He went through so much pain and so much screaming that they thought he was dead. And then he said, Jesus said, no, he's not dead. And Jesus raised him up, and the child is okay, and the demon's out of him. And so he took the demon out. But he said, all these details are important in this story, because I want to say this. It's been a long time in him. And so this is more difficult. It was entrenched. The roots were into this child's very being and soul. And that's the way sin is. Understand, you get, it's like it was any sin. You get someone who goes and gets, let's say they start drinking or smoking. Well, somebody's been drinking for 35 years. A lot harder than somebody who just started drinking has been drinking for a month. Someone who's been in pornography, and they messed up, and they got in pornography, and they've had and they've gotten in the month. It's bad, but you know what? It's not as bad. Things get in you. Bitterness. I want to say it's a longer bitterness is there. I know a lot of people got bitter for a month and they got out of it, and they said, "Man, that was tough." But then there's people who've been bitter for 25, 30, 40, 50 years. Whoa. How long has it been there? How long has it been there? See this, and so at the end, Jesus casts them out. And the disciples came to him and said, hey, what's the deal? Why couldn't we do this? And verse 28, when they're coming to him in the house, his disciples ask him privately, saying, why could not we cast him out? They want to know why they couldn't. In verse 29, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. He said, this kind, it's a different kind here. This, you've cast out lots of demons, but this kind, this demon who's been in there, this demon who's got this much control, this demon who casts him into the fire and attacks himself and cuts himself and does all these things, this demon has been there that long. This kind doesn't just happen quickly and easily. You've got to have prayer and fasting. Now, Jesus did it. He'd already been praying and fasting, okay? There's certain attacks, there are certain demonic powers, there are certain situations where they aren't just run of the mill, where you can just use here's a formula, you cast out the demon, or you pray over it, or you do this. This kind is different. This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Okay? It's different. Okay? It's different. And we see that. It's pretty clear there. There are certain situations that will take fasting and prevailing prayer. When you run into those situations, you can try everything else at that point. I can give you a bunch of the run-of-the-mill standard things. If you do this, this, and this, this will fix this problem. That's really common. You tell me the problem, we've dealt with it before, and we're going to give a few things, and they're pretty simple things, and if you'll do this and this and this, and most of them are just basic things that a Christian is supposed to do. Read your Bible and pray, go to church, and you know, and just simple things. But sometimes if there's bitterness or there's different issues to drugs or physical addiction, there's different issues that take a little more work. But I want to say, most of the time there's pretty basic solutions. When somebody's been doing ministry, and when you've been studying the Word of God, and when you'll, and many times you'll know what you need to do. Other times you tried everything, and nothing happens. Sometimes there's someone you're trying to reach, there's someone you're trying to help, there's someone you're working with, and you say, I am running my head into a wall. I'm not getting anywhere with this one. You know, some people you can influence, and you just work hard, and you pray, and you act right, and do what you're supposed to do, and it impacts them, and great things happen. Other people, they get worse. How about this child? It sees Jesus, it goes into worse, starts tearing up the child. That's different. I want to say this. Whenever a demon saw a real good Christian, they threw a fit. Okay? And that's very common. Demons would live very happily until something disturbed their comfortable world and shook their world, which is a real Christian. That's why there's not many great Christians that really disturb many demonic people. Okay? But a real Christian, that's why. Why do you think it's just like New Testament Christians are coming to town and they immediately have a group of people attack them? You know what? I want to say this and understand this. When you become a real Bible Christian that we talk about, they will like other Christians, but they might not like you. They might say, why can't you be like one of them? You know, they're just more, you know, relaxed and like us. And you guys, well, there might be a reason for that beyond just because you might not say a word. That's the thing. They'd come in the presence and all of a sudden, they'd come in the presence of the disciples. They'd come in the presence of Jesus and they would cry out. Okay. It's amazing. They'll say, why are you always judging me? And you go, I don't think I said a word. What do you mean? I haven't been saying anything, but the Holy Spirit's with you and he's telling them something and you're going, and they're having all this conflict with you going, why are you, I just said, how you doing? You know, I mean, what are you so, why? Because demons get, they realize the presence of God and they hate it and they cry out and scream. Okay. So they had this situation and you might have somebody you're trying to work with and you might say, man, I don't see how they can ever get change, or maybe there's a demon in it. Maybe the demon needs cast out. All these different situations. There are certain situations that will take fasting and prevailing prayer. You probably already think of them right when we're talking. You say this. Yep, that's this one. They're brutal. It seems like they've been like that forever. They don't even want to change, and they are so hard. I mean, I can't even get to the point of telling them what I need to tell them because they're so. Okay. The good news is there are certain things that prayer and fasting can do that nothing else can do. And that's what you got to do. Let's look at some other, and you see obviously in this verse, it says, this kind can come forth by nothing, Mark 9:29, but by prayer and fasting. Isaiah 58. It's a great chapter on fasting. It talks first about a bad fast, that they're doing these fake fasts that are for all the wrong reasons, and I'm not teaching on that. I want to say you can fast wrongly. You read Matthew 6. It says, when you pray and fast, it says, don't let anyone know you're fasting. Don't sit around and go, oh, I'm so hungry, I'm fasting. Okay, don't do that. You wash your face. You act like you're normal. You do everything you should do. And God sees your fast. And understand, it's hard to fast. It's hard to fast for Americans. Because we just always have food. You know what? I'll tell you this. Most people, it's an amazing thing. They're out and about and they don't have any money, but they haven't eaten since 9 a.m. and they are going to buy fast food. Why? Because they can't. They cannot go from 9 o'clock till 4 o'clock when they get home without eating. Okay. We are used to eating. We're used to eating a lot. We're used to eating everything we want. I think it's easier to fast, and I don't want to get too medical here. It's easier to fast when you don't got all the addictions that we all have. And you don't know it, okay? But you have a bunch of food addictions that aren't good addictions, okay? You're addicted to sugar. You say, well, I'm not addicted to sugar. Try it. I mean, look at every product and go sugar-free. Find out if you get a headache and get sick and get withdrawals. You're addicted to a bunch of poisons that are in your food. And you don't even know they're there. You don't know it, but once you don't have them, I'm telling you, the first time you fast, you're going to get a massive headache from all your addictions. You're going to get a big old headache because unless you eat a very healthy non-American diet, you're going to find out you're addicted to a whole bunch of things. And so if you, by the way, when I go overseas to third world, their diet is better, by the way. They eat less food, but their diet's better. But you eat a natural rice and fish diet or vegetables and stuff, they don't have as much problem fasting as we do. It's just their bodies are healthier and stronger and don't have all the toxins and crazy stuff. And I say that as a person who same thing. Okay, I eat better than most Americans, but that's not saying much. It's like saying I'm, you know, tougher than all the, you know, quadriplegics. But we all have terrible, terrible diets and eat bad and stuff like that. So it's very tough for us to eat because we're used to eating all the time. And then we eat our three meals, plus we snack all the time in between. Some of you, if you fasted between meals, you'd be, you know, power got to come down because got to be so shocked. And so we have all these things. It's very difficult to do that. Hard for us to fast. Isaiah 58 talks about the false fast where you're showing it off and you're doing it for contention and things. Then he gets into the real fast that God chooses, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye may break every yoke. Okay, look at this list of things happening when you do God's kind of fast, when you go without food and get God's attention, praying and fasting. The fast that I've chosen looses the bands of wickedness. You got wickedness in your life? Fast about it. You know someone who needs victory, someone in church who's struggling with a sin? Fast about it. It looses the bands of wickedness. To undo heavy burdens. Overwhelm. Someone else is overwhelmed. Fasting. To let the oppressed go free. You know someone in bondage? To break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Okay. You're fasting so you can feed other people. And that thou bring the poor that are cast to thy house, cast out to thy house. So you have a need to go and feed poor people who have been given to you and God sent them to you. You can feed them. And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. It sounds to me like if you can fast for God to provide for you, so you can provide for other people. I want to say that's biblical Christianity is when you get what you get to help other people. Not so you can consume it upon your own lusts. That's not the normal way we do things. You can cover the naked, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. You're delivered. I want to say this. Fasting delivers you from the power of your flesh. Your flesh does what it wants to do. That's why you say, I don't want to do this, but I want to do this, but I can't. That's because you're not fasted enough. Fasting makes it so you can deliver yourself from your own flesh. When you can't stop cussing, when you can't stop saying things, when you can't stop, when you need to fast. It does a lot of things. Look at verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. You get surrounded with light. Your light, there's a light. There's a glow. There's a greatness. There's a mighty work of God. There's a great plan of God for your life that's there. And fasting makes God be able to use you in a great way. You ever feel like you don't reach your potential for God? Maybe you should try fasting. Your light breaks forth. And the next one's going to surprise you. And thy health shall spring forth speedily. Thy health shall spring forth speedily. That's weird. It says your health gets way better. It says. I don't think it's a natural, necessarily. Let me say this. I don't think it's all just what naturally would happen to you. Now, when you fast, I think there are physical things that happen good to you. Okay? When you fast, look in the mirror after about 12 hours. Look at your tongue. Your tongue will be all white. Okay? And your breath will smell awful. Because a bunch of impurities are coming out of your body. Okay? And you have to brush your tongue and things like that. Otherwise, you'll scare people away. And things like that. But fasting, and every day this happens, fasting helps your health. Okay? Now, maybe it's supernatural. Maybe it's there's a reason for it. One of the things it'll do, your stomach will shrink. Okay? And that's not a bad thing. The stomach's an amazing thing. You know, your stomach can expand. It's amazing. Your stomach can go to huge, huge sizes. But it also will shrink. Okay? The first time I fasted, I thought the world was going to end. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Oh, I can't believe this. I was dying. And I was so hungry. I was so miserable. And I fasted from midnight till midnight. And so I remember about 11 o'clock, I started cooking. 11 o'clock that night. I said, I'm getting ready to fast. And my fast is ending. And I thought, I mean, I was miserable. I'd never been so miserable in my life. I mean, it was so hard. I had no character at the time, no discipline. And I started cooking, and I was so hungry. I thought I probably will just empty the cupboards. I mean, I started cooking everything. I just had pans and plates, and I was like cooking. I'm like waiting until it's 11:59 and 59 seconds, and my fork is in the food, ready to lift it, and I am ready to go to town and eat. And I cooked so much food, and I sat down and started eating. And went, oh, I'm full. Why am I full? Look at all this food. Why my stomach had gone down. Our stomachs, we eat till it hurts. Oh, that's gluttony. That's sin. Your stomach will shrink down, and if after your fast you start eating smaller servings, you probably find yourself a lot healthier. Okay, it'll help your health in a lot of ways, and it'll make you appreciate simple food. You know, you can come back from your fast and eat stuff that's good for you, and it'll taste good. Imagine that. I mean, like green stuff. Yeah, even green stuff will taste good. And, I have extra pickles in my burgers, I know. But more green stuff than that will taste good. And you will find out it can help your health. And God will bless your health. Now listen, I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be a doctor. but we got a lot of... we have a lot of health issues in our society. We are... I always love everybody to say, all these things help me. Well, why are you so unhealthy then? Why have to go to the doctor so much if all these things are helping you? Okay? We put so many things in our body and do so many things in our body. And all these things. We have people who are hypoglycemic. We have people who have all kinds of disorders and they're eating and stuff like that. And I do not recommend your first fast you go without liquids. Okay? Your body's used to liquids. It burns calories and burns things at a certain rate, thinking it's going to get fed all the time. Okay? Thinking it's going to have all this stuff. I recommend you, the first fast you do, I would drink juices. Okay? In most cases. And I would do that. Then later on, I would go with just water. If you can do that later on. But see how it goes. If you have some hypoglycemia or something like that, you have to experiment. I believe that if you will try to fast, God will bless it and help your health. Okay? And do that. And then eventually, once you've done that, both those things, and you're not doing really super hard, hot labor in the middle of the sun, you might try going without food or water for a day. Now, people in the Bible did it for very long periods of time, but I also understand there are people who are used to not having water faucets everywhere and sinks everywhere. Okay? Their body... The human body adapts and it can adapt to amazing things, and it can make you need much less water. You ever notice how much water you and I need? Because we're just used to drinking, our body burns it. I mean, I drink water all day, and it's good. It's a good thing. I'm saying that's a good thing. Understand, your body burns things a certain way. It runs a certain way. It does things a certain way because of our culture. But you're not condemned to that. You can change your diet and what you feel like you have to have. You're addicted, okay? You're addicted. That's just culture you're in. So you ought to do that. Your health will spring forth. It's good for you. next, thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Reward means behind protection behind you. So you have righteousness in front of you. You have God's protection behind you. In other words, everywhere you're going, you're protected front and back. That's the power of fasting. The power of fasting. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Wow, that's pretty awesome. You cry, God says, I'm here. What do you want? That's the power of fasting. He shall say, here am I. And if thou take away from thee the midst of thee the yoke, and put in forth the finger, and speak in vanity, if thy draw out thy soul to hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make thy fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and a spring of water whose waters fail not. Sounds pretty good. Now, I understand 1,000 factors. You You don't have to ask me a thousand factors. You say, I'm taking medication. I have to have food in my stomach. Got it? Okay. Time it out. Do your best. Fast as long as you can. You say, I'm pregnant. I have to eat. Got it? Understand that? You have to. You can. God is so good because there's factors we have. Now, I recommend all of you conquer food. Conquer food. Don't let a little... Don't let food conquer you and say you have to eat this way and you have to eat that. If I said I have to eat this, I would do the opposite of it and say, I'm eating none of that. I'm only going to eat this. I die daily, folks. That's the Bible says. See, I don't like vegetables. Then eat them. It's good for you. Makes you not. By the way, I tell you this, junk food king, right here. I grew up on junk food. I don't think I ate a salad, and I'm not exaggerating here. Nobody ever cooked for me. I myself from, I don't know when. I know it was 5 years old or younger. I made all my meals. What do you think a little kid makes? Okay, junk. I microwaved everything. I was one, you know what I found? I found two wonderful things when I was a teenager. I found microwave pancakes and microwave bacon. I thought this is the best thing in the world. That's what I grew up on. I was such a bad eater. My pastor's wife, who was from Alabama and cooked everything and Southern cook. And she'd ask me what I had today. And I'd say, I had microwave bacon and microwave pancakes for breakfast. And then I had minute rice. You could cook rice in 5 minutes. That's when I started getting healthy. Minute rice. And I started eating that. I don't think I had a salad until, I know until I was a teenager. And I love junk food, fast food all the time. All the time, fast food. Love junk. Love garbage. You know when I started changing my diet because I was so busy and had to stay healthy and had so many, and I'm not the best eater yet. But you know, I like healthy food now. You know, it's really icky. If you go back and look at that refrigerator, there is this weird green smoothie stuff that's, it's got grasses and it's got vegetables and it's got all kinds of stuff in it. And next to it is a bottle of carrot juice. And I love both of them. Don't you dare touch them. And I love them. You know, you get it. Once you start eating right, you hate it at first. Then you start getting an appetite for it. And pretty soon, actually, the junk food's kind of like, I'll get there someday. But it gets lessons. So control your appetite. Control your food. We're talking about health too much here and not fasting. But I want you to control your diet. Don't let a little bit of food, don't let a hunk of a cow and two pieces of bread control your life. You decide when you eat, how much you eat. Learn to stop. They say in every meal you will go, and all of a sudden, somewhere in the meal you go, that's when you're supposed to stop eating. But usually that's halftime, okay? And but that's actually when you've actually eaten enough then, and your body's telling you, okay, you're good. And then if you just sit back for a sec and just wash it down some, you'll find out you got enough. And don't, you know, just because it still will go down doesn't mean it needs to, okay? And so you don't do that. And so you want your health good, and you want to control food. And so there's many things you can fast. There's many things the Bible says you can fast from. The Bible literally says a husband and wife can fast from intimacy. There's a million things you can fast from. Some of you might try fasting from something, coffee or tea or something you do every day. You might fast from television for about the rest of your life. You might try fasting from anything, like from computers, fast from anything. Something that's important to you, and you say, Lord, I'm going to give this up for you. I'm going to stop doing this. That's a fast, and you can do it. Don't fast from reading your Bible. Don't fast. Don't be foolish. But you can fast from something you like doing. You can fast from golf. You can fast from all kinds of things. You can fast from computer games. You can fast from whatever. You can fast, but you need to learn to give up things for God because it gets God's attention. Esther chapter 4, verse 16, they said, fast, pray and fast for me, and the Jewish people were saved from a slaughter. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, Nehemiah fasted, and pretty soon he got permission from nowhere. He got permission to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, and chapter 10, verse 3, Daniel was on a long fast, and an angel came and gave him miraculous unbelievable prophecies after he fasted. Amazing things happen after you fast. I've been in a fast for somebody recently, and it wasn't even that long of a fast. And I don't always, and my memory's bad, and I don't always connect a fast with an event, but I had someone call me out of the blue and say something that was so out of their character. This person I was fasting for, it was like I felt like I made a mile with them. I said, "What in the world?" They just said that to me. They were nice. And they said something positive and kind. It was like they were way over here and I needed to get them here. And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, without anything I did except for fasting, all of a sudden they were there. Okay, and it's of this kind. Fasting in the Bible just brings amazing thing. Why do we fast? Just a few things. Let me take it to Psalms, Book of Psalms. Psalm and chapter 69. You could fast from football. You could say, "I really want to watch a game today, but you know what? I don't think I'm strong enough to not watch the game. I better fast from it." Okay, food's easier than Seahawks, huh? And so... fast from important things to you. Why? First, you chasten your soul. Psalm 69, verse 10, it says this, "When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach." Chastening in the Bible usually means discipline or spanking. I chastened my soul. Remember when I said if I couldn't stop eating this, if I said I had to have this, I would stop it because of that? Okay, remember, Paul said, "I will not be brought in the power of any." You know, sometimes I just find out the flesh is too strong. I keep saying I want to do this, but I keep doing this. I keep on saying I can't resist, I can't stop. That means the flesh is very strong, so I chasten my soul through fasting. And so you stop and you abstain from something, you stop doing something. You might say, "I always got to have music on," then you turn it off. Because I always got to have that. In other words, fasting chastens your soul and brings it back into line. You're just a gluttonous, out of control, got to do what you want. You always say what you feel like saying. You're out of control here. Your flesh is too strong. I'm going to chasten you through fasting. And real quick, your flesh screams at you. And I want to say, when you fast, I don't know about your experience, when I fast, everybody offers to take me out to lunch. I mean, it's unbelievable. I made the worst mistake of my life. I was fasting one day, and I went to Costco. And, you know, the Costco samples, but it wasn't normal. It was like they had a radio on every sample lady's ear and said, "That guy right there, chase him down." And I'm like avoiding them. "Hey, sir, come on, this sausage, try it, it's so delicious." And they were after me. And it wasn't, try this new cracker. It was, you know, try this, here's a new T-bone we got. And I mean, it was unbelievable, it was delicious stuff. And they were trying to get me. It was, the devil owns Costco. And, it's the way it was. Now, when I'm not fasting, I make the rounds several times. And, but I want to say, I have people call me. I haven't talked to them in 6 months. All of a sudden, "Hey, Pastor, I got this gift certificate to the Met. You want to go with me tomorrow?" And people will offer you, it's hard to fast. Someone will walk up and say, "Man, I ordered this whole pizza. I only ate half of it. You want a piece? Why didn't you do this yesterday?" That's just the way it works, okay? And they will offer you food. It's hard to fast. It is difficult to fast. But it chastens your soul. Stick with what you committed to do. Stick with it. Next, it humbles your soul. Psalm 35. You've fasted before, know what I'm talking about. It seems like the most delicious foods are offered to you when you're fasting. Or you decide, you know what, I'm going to give up football for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden, the most important game of the year comes up. Or whatever it is, that's just the way things work. It tests your fasting. Next, it humbles your soul. It humbles you. Psalm 35 and verse 13. "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing is sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting." Okay, I humbled my soul with fasting. Boy, that's what it is right there. You humble your soul. Okay, I want to say this. You have to say, God, I want this so bad. Only you can do this. I need you. It makes your soul realize there's something more important than what you want. You are not the most important thing. This thing, this demon, this attack, this need. You know, I need a job. Fast about it. I need this thing to happen at work. Fast about it. I need this relative save. Fast about it. I need victory in my life in this thing. Fast about it. I'm in real financial trouble. Fast about it. It gets God's attention. Do not try a 1 week fast. Your first time you fast, you'll be sick. Your body's not. It's a shock to your body. Okay. And by the way, and just say this one more time, getting back to health thing. The healthier you eat, the easier it is to fast. If you're an unhealthy eater, your fasting is going to kill your mind, your body. You're going to be in a lot of agony with your withdrawals. Sugar's a strong withdrawal. Caffeine's a strong withdrawal. Preservatives are a strong withdrawal. Food coloring will give you withdrawal. There's a whole bunch of things that give you withdrawals. It's going to be hard. Eat better and you'll find it easier. Next, it shows the Lord how important something is. It shows the Lord how important something is. We see that all the time. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3, Nehemiah sits down and weeps because he heard about how Jerusalem was doing and then begins a fast. See, God looks down and says, wow, you're going without that thing that's that important to you? Wow, that's important to you. God says, you'll talk and I'll hear. It shows the Lord, this is, Lord, and that's what I say. Every fast I go on, I say, Lord, you know how much I like to eat. And Lord, I want you to know this is important. I'm going to go without this. It gets God's attention. It tells the Lord, this is important. And these are the things it does for you. And then I want to say one more thing. Give yourself occasion to a season of prayer and fasting. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 7. We'll finish up there. Give yourselves to a season of prayer and fasting. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. Talk about a husband and wife being intimate. And it says this. Defraud ye not one another, except to be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempts you not for your incontinency. He says this, he says, for a season you might give up all pleasures for a season of fasting and prayer. And I want to say this, a little difficult for us, but you can do it. If you're single, it's easier. But you give yourself to a season of fasting and prayer. Now, remember, the Bible says don't tell everybody what you're doing. Don't tell everybody you're fasting. God will see it in secret. If somebody asks you, don't lie, but you're not bragging about it. You're not showing it off. But if there's a time in the Bible, they'd many times go apart to fast and pray. You might have to drive and go to the mountains for a day and say, I'm not going to take anything with me. I'm just going to be with the Lord. You might just be at home and not watch any entertainment. In other words, you for a day or whatever period of time, you're going to give a season of fasting and prayer where you're just giving yourself to just that. I'm not entertaining myself at all. I'm not eating. I'm giving myself a season of fasting and prayer. Now listen, let's be just for a second. I want you to understand this. Now, our church is an exception to this. You guys are exception to this, many of you, but not certainly not all of us. Most everybody is addicted to entertainment, and you do not know what to do when you don't have something to do. Okay? You will go apart and say, I'm going to spend 10 hours just, I'm going to be alone and meditate and read and fast and pray. You're going to find you have ADD to the extreme. You don't know what to do. Most people, if I said, turn off your television, internet, radio, no form of entertainment for one day, you would be shocked how hard that is. You wouldn't do it. You would say, I can't do this anymore. It's just too quiet. You don't realize how hard that is to go, but it's really good for you. Now, some of you say, man, I do that anyway. Great. But a season of fasting and prayer is a time period where you say, and now I'm going to say this, people whose whole life was no entertainment, no iPad, no iPod, no headset, no car radio, no internet, no TV, when their life was walking behind a cow or walking down the street or walking around, they were used to thinking. That's like when you don't have anything going into your brain. You are actually, little things are going around. And that's what people used to do. You're not used to thinking for hours at a time, okay? And praying and meditating. You'll be shocked how hard it is to give a season of prayer. But you know what? If you do it, you'll get God's attention. So it's good. These things are good. And I think that a season of fasting and prayer is very powerful. We got to pray and be dismissed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the chance to teach on fasting. And there's this kind. There's those demons that have been there a long time. I pray to help us to proclaim a fast sometimes and really do it. And I pray you'd use us in this thing and break the chains and use this in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who say, you know what? I think I know what I need to fast for. There's this kind in my life, and I'm going to pray and fast about it. God spoke to me. Would you slip your hand up? There's this kind in my life. I need to pray and fast. I'm going to do that. God spoke to me. I know what it is. I'm going to do it. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the hands that are raised. I pray you'd help them to do it. Bless the service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll be back in 10 minutes for the main service. 11 minutes.